Welcome to the Northern Affinity podcast with me, Michael Edwards. I am the founder of the Northern Affinity, and in this podcast I will be speaking to a number of our carefully chosen partners, all about their skills, their knowledge and their experience. And the aim of the discussion is to pass on that knowledge and experience to you as the listener. In this first series, I'll be using the live discussions that I held with our partners during the summer of 2020. As you will know, it was such an uncertain time for many people, and we used our platform to share knowledge, to share experience and to help each other. We do at the Northern Affinity strongly believe in sharing knowledge with others in your community is the right thing to do, and we can all learn from each other. I'm sure you will agree, no one can do business alone. During this podcast, I may reference several questions that were asked on social media. So in this week's episode, I'm delighted to say I was joined by Edward Wynn from DPI Consulting. Now, Edward is an expert in data and, more importantly, in how businesses can use and improve their business and grow by using the data they have. I'm sure we all know that there's so much data at our fingertips today, but it's actually one of the most difficult things is effectively using that. And this is where Ed comes in. I hope you will enjoy the discussion. So anybody who's watching this live, if you do have any questions or comments, please do feel free to put them in the relevant boxes. We are on both Facebook and LinkedIn. The LinkedIn one can be a little bit temperamental, but hopefully if any questions do come in, it will come through to me. And I'll put those to Ed. But again, also for people, if you are watching this, whether it's on, you know, not live or with our YouTube channels or whatever it may be, again, please do feel free to put questions in there, and obviously I can pass them on to Ed, and I'm sure I'll be happy to answer them at a different point. I won't steal your thunder, Ed, and I'll pass it over to you if you want to kind of introduce yourself, explain who you are, what you do, that the usual kind of thing, and then we'll go from there.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everybody. Yeah. So I'm Ed, Edward Wynn. I founded my business, DPI Consulting, about 4 years ago after a long corporate career in essentially always involved in data and analytics. And that's what I now offer through my business. And really, in a nutshell, the business is about helping organizations to improve business performance through realizing their data potential.
Perfect. So, I mean, do you want to give us a bit of a background into yourself, Ed, in terms of, you know, kind of how you got to the point that you're at?
Sure. So I guess engineer by qualification and kind of, you know, early career, software engineering, sort of very, very technical roles, always involved in data. I did a lot of work with the German National Press Agency when early on in my career, and other media organizations, BBC, Sky Television, that sort of thing. Gradually, as my career sort of went on, did less and less hands-on technical roles and much more, you know, maybe sort of team leadership and sort of solution design, solution architecture, pre-sales work, consultancy work, and more business change work, and really got to understand that actually data and analytics, it's much more about the business change than it is about the technical change. And worked for a real different set of businesses, worked for myself for a long period of time. I guess 10 years ago, I came out of a role at Accenture. I had a stint at Accenture doing some really interesting projects there with some really big businesses, Lloyds Bank, EDF Energy, people like that. Went to work for Co-op Bank and really in the data space, helping them sort of operationally with their data. So how do they get the data that they need to run that business? But also strategically, what should we be doing? What does good data management look like? How do we take care of the data that we collect and make sure it's of the right quality, that people trust it, that sort of thing? How do we get the culture and the business right so that we treat data as an asset? Really interesting journey at Co-op Bank. I think many of the listeners and the viewers today will recognize that brand as having been through some significant trouble early on in sort of 2013, 2014. And I was part of the leadership team there that helped to to sort of, you know, turn that organization around. A lot of that was through sort of operational efficiency gains and things like that, which ultimately came from better data and analytics, you know, understanding what was going on, analyzing it, and then improving the performance there and using that to take cost out. So I left the bank in 2016 and set up the business DPI at that point, wanting to go and use that sort of experience and those skills that I gained across, not just at the bank, but across my whole career, to help other people. After I did a stint with Yorkshire Building Society, which was really, really interesting, helping them with a large data and MI transformation program. But subsequent to that, I've really been focused on helping smaller organizations. I think, you know, I'm a big believer that you know, in this day and age, every business, regardless of size, needs to get a handle on data and analytics. You know, sort of gone are the days when it was the preserve of sort of Google and Facebook to use data to do things. You know, every business needs to be on top of this in some way, shape, or form, and they need people who've got those sort of skills and can provide a bit of advice, a bit of guidance, a bit of help. And that's really what we do as a business and what I'm focused on now.
Perfect. And I know one thing you talk about, I've heard you talk about a few times, Ed, is data potential. Can you kind of tell us about that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, data potential, every business collects data, right? Yeah, regardless of size. So, you know, if you sort of think about a one-man band business, then, you know, that business will collect you know, names of contacts and businesses that they talk to sell products, services, whatever that might be. And then as you scale up, you know, you get different types of data, and every business collects it. It might be that you have a website and you've got some analytics on there so that you're capturing where your visitors are coming from, the time of day that they're visiting your website, which pages they're looking at most frequently. It may be that you sell products and services, and you know, you will, whether it's sort of intentionally or consciously, really, or not, you'll be gathering data about which parts of those products and services your customers like the most. And, you know, maybe you've done some customer satisfaction surveys about why. But generally, businesses gather a lot more information than they're actually using. Yeah, you know, a lot of businesses will be doing marketing activity and they'll be sending sort of regular communications to customers. But they'll have a whole load more data that could really help them to gain much greater insight. And then you can use that to do a variety of different things. If we take a customer marketing example, that might be that you can better tailor your marketing messages so you send the right message at the right time on the right communication channel to the right people. It may be that you can use the information to hone your products and services. So maybe you've got 10 products, but actually 90% of your revenue comes from three of them. Well, guess what? Maybe you should focus on those and invest in those more than the other seven. Yeah. And similarly, you know, there's examples kind of right across that spectrum. But ultimately, I think, you know, the potential lies in data's ability to help you become more efficient. So in other words, lower costs, to increase your revenue. So sell more or charge more for it because it's you know, a more highly valued product. Or the third angle here, it often gets ignored, but it's really important, is a risk and compliance lens. And that might be from a GDPR perspective. If you're holding, you know, customer names and addresses and things like that, then that all needs to be kept in accordance with the general data protection regulations. Or it may be if you're into a more broadly regulated business, so a telco or a utility or a financial services business, then there are different sets of regulations that are imposed on those organizations, that having good control over your data and good management practices for your data can help you to you know, increase your compliance and therefore reduce the risk that you're running in your business. And that, and when I talk about potential, they're really the three levers, so, you know, sort of cost or efficiency, income or revenue, and then risk and compliance.
So when you work with your clients, I guess how and what do you do? You know, let's use myself as an example. And I said, Ed, look, I've got all this information and I don't know where to start with it. Yeah. Kind of what, you know, in a nutshell, really, what's the kind of process that you go through and what are the important factors that you look at?
Yeah, so that's quite a common starting place, right? Is, you know, people sort of say, you know, either I want to do something with data. I've heard that everybody's doing this, and you know, I want to do something, or I know I've got a data problem, but I don't really know quite what the problem is or where to start with it. And what I've often found over my career is that, you know, people can think the problem is one thing, but actually it's something completely different. So, you know, the number of times I've been to businesses and said, "Oh, all our customer data is rubbish," and you okay, fine. And when you actually get into to have a look at it, it's not really what the problem is. The problem's a little bit more nuanced, or it's somewhere else, and there are other reasons for it. So generally, I like to go and have a look for myself, and you know, have a review of how the business is using data, and you know, where there are gaps, so where you could do more with using data. So actually, you've got this opportunity and this opportunity here, and that's really the first step, because you know, there's often so many opportunities that you've got to decide what you want to focus on first. So, you know, in these times that we're talking at the moment, and at the height of COVID, there's a big focus on cost cutting and efficiency. And so people may want to improve their data and analytics capabilities to help them with that. It may be that people want to drive growth instead, and so they want to focus on, actually, we need to understand our customers better. We need to understand the products that they're using and the ones that they're not, and use that to drive income. But I think it's really important to have that conversation to understand, well, you know, where are the opportunities? What do you want to focus on? What's your business strategy? And let's get that piece aligned. What follows from that is then usually a capability review. So, looking at the people, the processes, and the technology that you've got in place, and that'll be different in every business, and there's no sort of one size fits all answer there. So, but it's really a case of understanding what it is that you've got. And again, it's a bit of a gap analysis, really. So, you know, what are the opportunities? And whenever I'm doing anything like this, I always think it's really, really important to look for quick wins. And that doesn't mean cutting corners. That just means, actually, what can you do that's actually really quite simple and low cost that's going to make a really big difference? And that's important, because you know, everybody wants to see a return on whatever they invest in anything that they do. But data and analytics is a hearts and minds game. Yeah, it's often you need to make a culture shift to maybe for people to understand the importance of collecting better quality data, or to understand the importance of collecting some new data that you've asked them to collect, which is going to slow their process down, perhaps. And so you've got to get those sort of hearts and minds and that culture changed. And there's no not really any better way than showing some results. So it's always a question, sort of a case of looking for something that's relatively easy to do. And you know, the thing I'd add at this point is, often I think, you know, the data industry is known for loving an acronym, and known for sort of, you know, technology and tools and people getting carried away with that stuff. But 99 times out of 100, I would recommend some process changes or something along those sort of lines, because actually you can do an awful lot with the people that you've got, and changing the processes and maybe the way that they're working before you get anywhere near needing to invest in new technology. It's a case of, you know, so it doesn't need to cost a lot to actually make a you know, a significant improvement pretty quickly.
No, I think that's a really important point you make about this, you know, quick wins as such, because
Yeah.
it's like anything in life, it kind of builds confidence, I guess, in something. You know, if you feel something is starting to work quickly, you're more likely to kind of invest in it, whether that's financially or time-wise in the future. So that makes a lot of sense then. So we've had a couple of questions and points on LinkedIn. First, I told you that LinkedIn is temperamental. So this hasn't told us who's asked this question. But anyway, how do you find new clients? Now, before we answer the question, Ed, I would say we also had a point. We can see who did this. So thanks to Pete for this. And I know it's something that he will agree with. He loves the comment about culture shift and the hearts and minds. So he obviously agrees with what you're saying, and also my
Yeah,
point as well. Yeah, we'll go back to the question that's been posed. So how do you find your clients?
it's a really good question. So, When I set the business up, as I said, and as I outlined at the start, I've had quite a long corporate career, so, and over that, I've spent a long time building up a network of people that I've worked with, that have, still in some of the businesses that I've worked with, or they're in different businesses, and that network's proved to be by far and away the best source of work for me, actually. It's always that everyone sort of says, it's all about who you know, not what you know, and it's a little bit tongue in cheek, is that, but it is, it's true. My network has been really, really valuable at kind of identifying leads and opportunities for me, either directly or indirectly. But I figured out fairly early on that that was never going to be enough. You needed to have more than that. So I've built associate type relationships with other businesses. So some of those are consultancy businesses in their own right, and they do slightly different things, but they need people with skills like mine to help them. So I do some work with a business that does a lot of technology due diligence for mergers, acquisitions, private equity deals, that sort of thing. More and more of their work is involving data and analytics, so I kind of act as a subject matter expert for them. Other data and analytics consultancies who've got sort of fluctuating demand, and they don't necessarily want to keep a permanent bench of staff, and so they'll use people like me on an associate basis to help them when they've got peaks of demand, that sort of thing. And then, of course, we're talking today on the Northern Affinity, and one of the reasons why I wanted to join the Northern Affinity was the collaboration aspect. So I'm really keen to collaborate with the guys, the partners in the Northern Affinity, because I think I've met a number of the people since I've been part of the community, and there's definitely synergies between things that we've talked about. I've talked a lot today about sort of business strategy and how it's important to align anything that you're doing in the data space to business strategy. And Pete's made a comment there about the culture shift in hearts and minds. And I know Pete well. If Pete was talking to us now, he'd talk about the importance of data to support sales processes. So I think there's a lot of sort of collaborative efforts there that I hope we can do together, really, as a collaborative force to help more and more people.
Absolutely. The question, by the way, was from Jeff Dunn. So I'm sorry for
Okay.
that. It was from Jeff. So thank you very much for that, Jeff. Now, funny enough, one of the questions I wanted to ask as well was around people that you collaborate with. So I kind of just want to go into that in more detail. I know you've kind of touched on it there. So for what you do, who I guess there's a degree of what people do, but also the kind of people you work with. Who else would What type of businesses are good for you to potentially collaborate with? And can you add value to their offering as well as obviously the other way around?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it depends on what sort of problem we're trying to solve and for who. So generally, my most successful engagements are when you engage at a senior enough level, so C-suite or director level, maybe in a larger business, because it's too often data's been something that's in the past, at least it's been something that's been ignored in businesses. It's a byproduct of being in business. We make widgets, and we just happen to gather data as we go about doing that. And to change that mindset, it's back to this sort of culture point. You do need buy-in from the top of the organization to really make a lasting change. And that doesn't mean you need loads of their time, but you need their sponsorship and their commitment to making changes. So people that are engaging at those levels of organizations are likely to be good people for me to collaborate with, because they'll have the right relationships, and as likely as not, if someone's having a conversation about business strategy, then this day and age, that's going to lead to a conversation about data or about analytics or machine learning or artificial intelligence or whatever it might be. Similarly, if we're talking about sales, well, there's a whole raft of opportunities there to use data and to improve sort of sales processes. So it's not really restrictive. I think it's one of the really nice things that I love, actually, about data and analytics. It's a very transferable skill set. It transfers from industry to industry really well, and you can deliver different things alongside different people. So, you know, marketing is another example. I spent a long time working in marketing myself. I've got a lot of experience of using data and analytics to support marketing processes. And so you're not really necessarily confined to one area of a business either. It can be quite broad. And and so I think collaborative, it's probably more about the people that people are talking to, if that makes sense. You know, who are they engaging with in the business, and making sure that it's pitched at the right level.
Absolutely. So another question we had as well, I think this is from Jeff as well. What kind of what sizes of businesses generally would benefit from what you do?
Yeah, so it's one of the sort of raison d'etres for my business, really, is that this whole question of size. So if you go back, I don't know, 5+ years ago, you started to see a lot of big businesses appoint chief data officers and heads of data, and indeed, you know, that was the role I had myself at Co-op Bank before I left. And in that sort of size of organization, they've got scale and complexity and all the rest of it to justify having someone employed full time in that sort of role. And that's fine, right? You know, so you know, big businesses need people, and they need teams. You know, it's not just one individual, it's going to be a team of people. But I think that every business, and I would go down to you know, kind of I wouldn't preclude working with a sort of, you know, a one-man band business at all, but realistically, you probably need to have got to some level of complexity and for in order for there to be a sort of a sufficient challenge and the need to start thinking about, well, what is a data strategy and what do we need to do. So but it doesn't necessarily need to be bounded by where, well, you need to have 5 employees or 50 employees or this much revenue. I think it's much more about what the business does. So you know, I've worked with some big businesses. If I think about, let's say, the last 12 months, I've worked with businesses that are, you know, financial services. So turnover is a bit of a misnomer, but you know, they're turning over billions of pounds because they're in financial services. They've got probably, you know, 750, 800 employees, that sort of thing. And they're obviously at the more complex and larger scale end of the people that I'm working with. I've worked with other people who've got less than 20 employees and, you know, turnover a couple of million pounds maybe, and you know, I'm doing really different things. So you know, that more complex end, much more people, process, culture, governance, change, and advice and guidance that they needed. At the smaller end of the scale, it was much more, I guess, initially certainly advice and guidance on how to solve the problem. And but it's been much more about, actually, how do we change our business and build the right technology solution to make this work. So there isn't really a kind of a sweet spot is, you know, this revenue to this revenue and this many people. I think it's much more about the type of problem that you want to solve, and how that can be sort of looked at. And you know, my business is geared up for that. You know, I work on a fractional or part-time or project basis. So if someone wants a few hours of advice, or you know, a day a month or something like that, then all those models are good for me. So you know, I'm really trying to make sure that I can support businesses of all sizes.
Perfect. Now, just going back to one of your points you made earlier, Pete has replied there. As you can see, lots of businesses don't use all their data in their sales process. And you can see there, Pete, also this his area of expertise is that measurement of this is key to the growth. So he's kind of very much backing up your point. So thank you.
Thanks, Pete. Yeah, I mean, just to build on that, so many times you go into businesses and they've got so much MI or management information. Yeah, it's coming out of their ears. You know, they're reporting on everything that, you know, well, what's important? Well, we've got these 350 KPIs. Right, hang on. You know, I think I've got an idea what one of your problems might be. Yeah. So I often talk about measuring what matters and that sort of thing. You've got to be really clear about why you're measuring something and what you want to happen as a result of it. And you know, not measuring more and more and more things doesn't necessarily get you to where you want to be. It's about measuring the right things, which I think is what Pete's saying there with his point. So, and he's right. So many organizations measure all sorts of things, but then they don't actually take any action as a result of measuring them, and they're not maybe measuring the right things because they're sort of, you know, can't see the wood for the trees type scenario. So.
Absolutely. No, that makes sense. And so one last question for me, Ed, if you don't mind. Obviously, you talked about generally the as you work with a little bit more complexity and things like that, but probably is quite a number of people watching this who maybe it is just them or they're starting out on their business. So there's probably not a need yet, but hopefully they will grow and they will get to that point where there is that need. So is there anything that they can be doing now to, let's just say, generically speaking, make it easier further down the line when they do have a lot more data to play with?
Yeah, so I think time and time again I come across data quality problems, and time and time again that's when we started out we didn't really understand this, so we just captured everything, or we captured this stuff and we weren't really clear about how we wanted it capturing and defining. So if there was one thing that I would say for people who are just starting out to take away, it's just think about any data that you're capturing, capture it in a format that you can use it and that you can look at it. So, you know, spreadsheets are fine, but try and put some governance and some quality control around it so that you're capturing things to the same standards. So, even sort of silly things like, you know, have a list of titles that you're going to allow, Mr., Mrs., MX, whatever that might be, or, you know, if you're capturing company type, have a standard list. You know, don't put limited on a Friday and LTD on a Monday, that sort of thing. You know, just simple little things. Just try and standardize the data, and then try and make sure you understand what's mandatory and what's optional and that sort of thing. Particularly if you've got more than one person capturing the data, you'd be amazed how quickly it is to deviate. I often run a little example with people, and I ask them to write down today's date. And if I gave six people in a room a post-it note and asked them to write down today's date, I guarantee I'd get three different answers. And it's stuff like that that's actually really, really important. Just think about that sort of stuff, because in the long term, that'll pay the greatest dividends. You can get into how you want to aggregate that information, how you want to use some of the sort of fancier tools that are out there to present nice graphs and charts and things later. But right now, my advice would be to focus on capturing the data that you're capturing at the right quality, because it will pay dividends in the future.
Well, that's great advice, and thank you very much for that, Ed. So, yeah, I mean, thank you for your time, obviously, most importantly.
My pleasure.
If there's people watching this, or whether it's live or later on, that want to kind of get a hold of you or find out a little bit more, what's the best routes for them to do that?
So, yeah, number of routes. I think, you know, we're obviously doing this as Northern Affinity. So I've got a profile on the Northern Affinity webpage. So you can find me on there with all my contact details. As you'd expect, I'm on LinkedIn. With contact details on there, or you can find me directly from my website, which is dpiconsulting.co.uk.
Thank you very much for that. So yeah, thank you again for your time, and thank you for anyone watching. If you are, like I said at the start, if you are watching this playback, please do feel free to put questions in the comments box or contact Ed directly. I'm sure I'll be more than happy to try and help.
Absolutely. Yeah, and thank you for everyone's time watching today, and thanks for the questions and the engagement. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Thank you. Well, that's it from my discussion with Ed. I hope you really enjoyed it and took some fantastic takeaways from that. As you've probably gathered from the conversation, Ed does some fantastic and amazing work with his clients to harness the power of data. All his details are in the show notes. If you want to find out a little bit more about Ed and the work he does, please refer to that. We would also love it if you could subscribe and rate our podcast. Now, we appreciate all feedback, and we're a big believer in that's a way that we can all grow and improve. So please do feedback anything you have about the podcast. Please feel free to contact me directly. I would love to hear that. And we always want to make it better and keep improving it for you as a listener. If you'd like to see some more of the discussions we've had, we have a YouTube page as well where many of these are hosted. You can follow us on social media. If you search for Northern Affinity, you'll find us on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter. Also, if you would like to connect with me on LinkedIn, I would love you to do that. So again, if you just search for Michael Edwards, The Northern Affinity, I'm sure you'll be able to find me. If you do want to find out any more about The Northern Affinity, again, all the details are in the show notes, but we hold several events, which you'd be more than welcome to join us when you can. We hold events such as Getting to Know the Northern Affinity, as well as opportunities for people to connect with each other. So I really would like to thank you for listening, and I hope you can join us next time.